Hi, and welcome to the third and final part of the Trinity of Building. Building a relationship with Christ, building a relationship with others in the body of Christ, and also building yourself up in Christ. And I had said there were three building blocks that comprise the Trinity of Building. The first and foremost is your personal relationship with Christ. Naturally, if you're born again, you've already started that relationship, but the relationship I'm referring to here as a personal relationship is a continual, intimate growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and allowing the Holy Spirit to conform you to His image as you journey along in your faith. And it starts there. That is the primary, most critical, important quality time that you have to spend with God. You have to cultivate it. You don't need to work it up. You don't need to beat yourself up. You don't need to follow certain rules or regulations, but you just need to say, Lord, here I am. And Father, commune. Get away with Jesus. Come away with me, the scriptures say, to be spending time. If you remember, the apostle whom Jesus loved was reclining at the Last Supper and had his head resting on the Lord. I mean, talk about, you know, amazing closeness with the Lord. And Jesus himself said, you know, I no longer call you servants, but instead I call you friends. And friends are close. And that's what I'm talking about, that you must proactively cultivate your personal relationship with Christ as your number one building block in the Trinity of Building. Then we spoke about building your relationship with other believers, people who you want to be in fellowship with, irrespective of their denominations, irrespective of whether they agree with everything that you interpret in the Bible or not. As long as they call themselves by the name of Christ and believe that He is indeed the only way to salvation, that He is God in the flesh, that He died for your sins, as long as those core issues are central to your relationship as a fellow believer in Christ, you need to build your relationship with them. Sometimes that's tough because we have disagreements over doctrine and theology, and that's okay. But we cannot hold venomous anger towards them, certainly on an ongoing basis. So you need to build your relationship, and we spoke about that as building block number two. And finally, we move now to building block number three, which is you need to build yourself up. You know, they tell you on an airplane, if there's an issue on the oxygen masks drop down from the ceiling, the first thing you're to do is to put it on yourself, not on your child or the passengers, you know, sitting beside you. Kind of sounds counterintuitive. It kind of sounds, you know, selfish, you know, but shouldn't I help somebody first before I help myself? Well, of course, there are selfish people who would think that way in any case, but in this instance, it means that you yourself need to be built up in order to help somebody. And that's what I mean by that analogy that I've drawn. So while your personal relationship with Christ is being built up, the Lord is going to do that. It's his work through the Holy Spirit. You just have to allow Him to do that. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. But you also have to take the time to speak to believers as well. But sometimes you can run dry. Your well can run dry from maybe too much ministry or whatever the case is. And you need to take some me time, some silence from the world, and to learn to encourage yourself, because there's a lot of naysayers. I think the modern term now is haters, is what they're using in social media. But let me give you an example here of King David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. In verse 6, you know, David has had a serious conflict with the Amalekites. And we can have all kinds of conflict with each other, with fellow believers, church settings, business settings, home settings, doesn't really matter. We can have and be at war in many different ways. We can be at war with ourselves. battling, struggling with decisions, struggling with beating ourselves up over some sin that we've committed. It's a constant battle, a conflict. And here David has had this conflict with the Amalekites. And it says in verse 6, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." You see, it looks like nobody around was coming to give him a word of encouragement, come on, to pray with him and to say, "Hey, David, don't worry, you know, we're with you, man." But what was happening was that he was pretty much left by himself. He wasn't alone because God was with him, but he was by himself. Sometimes when you're by yourself, that's the greatest moments of distress and depression. But it says here, David strengthened himself in the Lord. He took the initiative to say, you know what? No, if I am in God and God is for me, who can be against me? Whom shall I fear? He took probably the scriptures he knew from the law, from the Torah, from wherever, and used that in perfect commune with God. You need to do that as well. You need to take the scriptures that says, no, I am a child of God. I am greatly loved by the Father. Encourage yourself by those words. If there has been sin, obviously you need to confess it and repent. But there is no, therefore, no condemnation for those in Christ. Sometimes you need to encourage yourself. Not become narcissistic, as you see in the modern world of social media and, you know, selfies equal selfishness. You know, narcissism at its height. But truly, sometimes you need to say, when you look at the man in the mirror, as Michael Jackson said, and you reflect on that and say, you know what, God made me in this image. I'm being conformed into the image of Christ. Therefore, I have the mind of Christ. Be transformed by the renewing of a mind. You need to build yourself up. Not big yourself up, you know, not vanity, but build yourself up and say, I am a child of God. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to build yourself up. In Jude chapter 1, and what I'm about to say here is, you know, somewhat controversial depending on your theological bias, that is to say whether you are conservative, whether you are charismatic or otherwise, you will vary on what I'm about to say in terms of the not only the interpretation but perhaps application. And therefore, you must decide what this scripture says. I am going to share it, tell you what I think it means, and you now are left in charge of determining whether you want to look at the scriptures for yourself. But in Jude, it says in verse 20, there's only one chapter in Jude, so it's obviously, you know, verse 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Building yourself up can also consist of other things, which is your faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, and the hope for when Christ returns for eternal life. Those reminders, those things that are central to our faith, helps you to build up your faith, to build you up yourself. But the point about praying in the Holy Spirit is where the controversy lies. Some people believe that that is praying in tongues, for instance, because what does that mean, praying in the Holy Spirit? Well, we know Christ in us, us in Christ. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So you can look at it in different ways. I think personally, and I declare my personal interpretation of this, that's why I'm insisting you do your own search and say, Lord, open my heart, show me if this is so or not. That praying in the Holy Spirit includes praying in tongues. Now, it is not the only thing, nor do I wish to emphasize that as being super spiritual. But I think for believers who do not err on the side of charismatic gifts, you probably don't think that it is something biblical. Yet when we look at what Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he has a discourse on prophecy and tongues. So it's very clear that this is a real thing, that it's not something that is, you know, out of the ordinary, that it's crazy and stuff. Now, people have abused that particular gift, propped it up way beyond where it should be, and that is really ignorance of the scriptures itself. But it's not neglect the former for the latter. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So tongues as a spiritual gift, of which there are multiple gifts, that the Holy Spirit is the one who decides who gets what gifts, when, how, and where, does not make it super spiritual or that you are superior to another believer who does not possess that gift. That is what the scriptures teach us. But there is a reason God would have included in the gifts that he gives his children this gift of tongues. There must be a reason why he would have chosen to do this. Now we can go off on the theological teaching of the Tower of Babel and the restoration during Acts chapter 2 and the prophecy of Joel and so forth and so on. And that is a totally different a topic to discuss. What I will say, however, is that in my personal experience, I am very grateful that I got the gift of tongues. The theological term that people use is during the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's another moot point theologically. I won't go into that this time. At some point I will. But during that particular experience of the filling of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues was imparted to me by the Holy Spirit. And I have found that the use of it is for my personal edification. That is to build me up personally. That is what the purpose of it was. Now, whether interpretation comes is another matter. But certainly it is not a gift to just go prancing around on the stage babbling randomly without interpretation, and many people abuse that gift by just, you know, continuing to do that. I don't think that that is its purpose. As you will see from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, by the way, it starts with pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. That is where the preeminence comes. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, this is key, he speaks mysteries. If you go back to that, in the Spirit, and then correlate that to Jude, praying in the Holy Spirit, you will see that those two connect, which is where the theology comes from in terms of what it means to pray in the Spirit, is linked to the speaking in tongues. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So praying in tongues, you edify yourself. The Holy Spirit obviously is the one doing the edification, but that is the means by which God has chosen. When you prophesy, you're edifying the rest of the church. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Then Paul goes on to say, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. That whole chapter, you could take a look at it and read it and see what you personally think. The point I'm making here is not the emphasis on either or, because First Samuel, David encouraged himself in the Lord. In Jude, we are told that praying in the Holy Spirit, in addition to building up your faith and the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all of these things that connect together to build you up. And God has provided the means in which to do so. I hope you enjoyed this series. It's really just an overview. It's not deep diving into this at all. It's just designed to whet your appetite, so to speak, for you to personally go in search of the Lord and ask him, Lord, how do I build myself up? Lord, how do I build others up? Lord, how do I build my relationship first and foremost with you? And I pray now in the name of Jesus that the Lord will open your eyes to see the truth of his word, and that you may be built up, that you may help to build the body of Christ, and more importantly, that you build your personal relationship with your Lord and your Savior. This I ask in his precious name, the name above all names, Jesus Christ.